The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I am joined in studio by the hosts of the Irish Stew podcast, John Lee and Martin Nutty. Gentlemen, it's good to see both of you again.
Great.
And thanks a million for coming in to us. You were over, I know, for a whole host of things. You've been here for a few days. You were yesterday, John, you were up in Monaghan at the Project Children in the Peace Campus up there. So how have you been getting on?
You know, I think the Project Children was a great way to wrap up what we were doing. It's a program that started 50 years ago, grassroots effort by some families, mostly New York City cops and their families, bringing kids over, Protestants and Catholics, over from Northern Ireland, get them away from the Troubles for 6 weeks in the summer. It went, I think, well over 20,000 kids were involved in the program. They were planting the seeds where Protestant kids and Catholic kids were figuring out they could get along and have fun together. And they, you know, a lot of these stories have continued on, you know, as they became adults. I really feel the program planted seeds that have borne fruit in the peace process.
It's interesting, Martin, we have the presidential election ongoing, and to what extent questions about a united Ireland feature in all the debates? You know, we had Catherine Connolly on the show yesterday, and we'll have Heather Humphreys on, and we had a debate on TV. I did it with them, and I know there was a big RTE radio debate earlier today as well between the two candidates remaining. And, you know, there was a period of time that wouldn't have featured, really, questions about a united Ireland. I guess kind of post-Presossus, there was a degree of fragility, maybe, and there was a sense of not wanting to rock the boat. But there's a, without kind of nailing anyone's colours to the mast, unless they're comfortable to do so in terms of a candidate, there is a sense of inevitability or you know, that it's definitely high up on the agenda.
Are you speaking from an American point of view? Is that what you
Yeah, want to from an American point of view, looking at Ireland.
Let me be brutally honest here. Most Americans only think about Ireland a few days a year. Okay, most notably St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And what little they may know of Ireland, well, some know more than others, I think most have adopted the notion of the benefit of a united Ireland. As we all know, it's a much more complex question than that. The big question that we have to ask is, as somebody that grew up in the Republic of Ireland, is what do we want to give up to build a more inclusive Ireland? We just had Neil Richmond on our podcast, and he floated the interesting idea that maybe we should rejoin the Commonwealth, citing the fact that many members of the Commonwealth are actually republics, and don't owe direct allegiance to the king, which is, of course, what divided this country a little over 100 years ago. I think that's a kind of a fascinating story. Another good friend on the podcast, a gentleman called Paddy Cullivan, who's touring a show all over, actually recently in America, called I Can't Believe It's Not Ireland, and citing the possibility that maybe we should establish our capital in Athlone, where we just spent 6 days.
It is an interesting point, though, that, you know, Paddy and Martin and Neil Richmond and everybody raises, John, because I think for a long time there was a sense that a united Ireland was the 26 counties but bigger. You know, that the six counties would just be consumed by the 26, and our laws and our flags and our traditions and our anthem would become theirs. And there's an emerging sense, actually, that can't be the case, really, isn't there?
Yeah, we certainly have picked that up in some of our podcasts, that the New Ireland, it's going to be a New Ireland. And I think the thing from an American perspective, we look at, I find hope in that looking at people in the North and actually throughout the island who perceive to have irreconcilable differences, and through those irreconcilable differences found some things they do agree on and they need to make progress on, and they do need to move forward together. And we talked to people in the Unionist or Protestant community the last time when we were in Belfast, and we talked to folks who, you know, did recognize that the idea of a united Ireland was a possibility. And if it was so, we have some thinking to do, we have some work to do, and we have some cross-border cooperation to continue on. We certainly felt the vibe in Monaghan, which is so close to the border, which had seen terrible problems, the kind of hope hope, and the respectful tone when one was talking about somebody in the other tradition.
Martin, if people in the States then are not thinking about Ireland day in, day out, which I have to find very disappointing news, to be honest.
I might disagree with them there.
What are they thinking about?
Well, obviously, it's no shock to your listeners that there is a lot of volatility in American politics right now. The big concern, I suppose, for many people is, let's say, the current administration are interested in creating a more imperial presidency. And that's the concern. What I would say is it's far easier, let's say, in countries which do not have a long tradition of democracy to disrupt a democracy. Mm. America's had 250 years of democratic practice, etc. There are concerns that our elections won't be as free and fair, as certainly from the liberal side of the aisle. There are concerns that the Supreme Court seems to be overturning precedent regularly with well-established law. But I do think that most Americans are not convinced of the notion of having a king. And indeed, some of the protests in America use that tagline, no kings. And so what we're seeing, I think, and if you look at the polling in America, there is a shift in sentiment. The big thing I expect coming forward in November, interestingly, John and I live in New York City, is we have a mayor's election in New York.
Yes.
And that might not sound particularly exciting to your listeners, but the New York City mayor, a lot of times, is considered to occupy the job, the second hardest political job in America, because we have an incredibly diverse city and balancing all those needs. But also, he administers a $100 billion budget. Now, the gentleman that is at the front of the polling is a gentleman by the name of Zohran Mamdani. He is the Democratic nominee, and he's going up against the former governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. Thank you. Mario is his father. And now Donald Trump is projecting himself into that with expressing concerns that New York City is going to turn communist. I think that's unlikely, but I will look towards that election as a smoke signal in terms of identifying shifts. And there's been a couple of small by-elections since then where we've seen shifts in the electoral patterns of 5 to 10 percentage points at this point.
Shifts in which direction? Away from
Donald Trump.
And because you think, is it because you think people are reacting to that overreach? Or is it that the price of eggs haven't come down or whatever?
I think it's a variety of things. Okay. I think certainly there is not any significant decline in the inflation issues, which were a legitimate issue, over the past X number of years leading into the presidential election. That certainly hasn't improved. But I also think there's a genuine concern and fear at the undermining of a social safety net that was not as robust as many European countries and has been degraded further by what has been referred to as the big, beautiful bill.
John, have you seen that as well, those trends?
Yeah, I think there's some signs for encouragement. I think some of the fall off from the Trump support has been from people who bought into some aspect or some vision of what Trump was saying, but then they didn't think it was going to impact them negatively. Because I know very little about the agricultural sector in the U.S., living in New York City, I've been following farmers on social media and TikTok and Instagram. And they did not expect what's happening to them on multiple levels. Like the most recent one is the bailout of Argentina, which is the most their biggest competitor in the soybean market to China. So there were a lot of people who said, "Oh, I didn't think this was going to impact me," and I think that's what's going to trend us in a different direction. Also, what Martin was saying, ultimately, we did work pretty hard to overthrow the idea of kings. Now, we're flirting with it right now, but It's starting to rub people the wrong way.
And how does that then manifest? Let's say that that trend becomes slightly more permanent or more obvious as you get closer to midterms. Does just Donald Trump then just get mired in domestic politics and he's fighting battles? Or does he react like some sort of cornered animal and he starts deploying the National Guard to every street corner in the country?
Well, if you're asking me to predict the behavior of Donald Trump...
That's exactly what I'm asking you to do, Martin.
I think that's a fool's quest.
I thought you could get into his mind. So this is one man who can understand the mind of Donald Trump.
I hope I am not that person.
How do you expect it to manifest then? If John, if this isn't just a blip, there's an actual, that floating voter in the middle, the people who ultimately decide elections, who decided it for Joe Biden, then decided it for Donald Trump, if they're starting to sway in the opposite direction again.
I think the key thing is something Trump said in the last election, which was, you'll never have to vote again. And I think if the voting is done in any kind of fair and square manner, the trends are going to be away from him. But in many, many places, they've stacked the deck and they've got the courts increasingly on their side. I think ultimately they won't succeed, but he is, like you say, a cornered animal. I don't think he's going to get tied up in any policy debates. He's a feral genius.
And will it, Martin, translate in terms of social unrest, do you think? You know, I mentioned the National Guard and...
I think it's fairly clear to me that the introduction of the National Guard into cities where the mayors are not inviting them, where the governors are not inviting them, is certainly an attempt at provocation. What Donald Trump really wants is to see rioting on the street.
He wants, was it 1968 or 70?
'68 in Chicago.
He wants to see that?
Yes, I think so. I think it will give him... he's been preaching a notion that the cities are these extraordinarily dangerous places. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been approached by people when they hear that I'm from New York as to whether I walk on the streets of New York in fear.
Yeah.
It is the reality of day-to-day life in New York is nothing approaching that. As a matter of fact, in the New York that I originally arrived in the late 80s, early 90s, it was dramatically more dangerous.
Martin's a day-to-day life, John. Before I let you go, to what extent does all of this infuse day-to-day life? Or do most people, are they just getting on with things? The way most people throughout history tend to get on with things while great events happen around them.
That is what's going on. And that's what makes it kind of eerie, because you wake up in the morning and you realize... you're still under this very, very critical threat to American democracy. And you still have to go to work. You still have to do what you do. You still turn on a TV show and laugh at the jokes they're making. But it starts to ring a little bit hollow. Mm.
Make a double macchiato. Get on with life. But that's what you can do.
Figure out where to make an impact. You know, where you can make an impact on a community level that can... So it's kind of what we watched happen in Project Children in Northern Ireland. Where can you make an impact in the community? You can't govern what's happening in Washington, D.C., but where can you make an impact in your community to make things better?
Well, actually, sorry, speaking of governing in Washington, D.C., I mean, lots of people are wondering where the challenge to Trump is going to come from. I know you, Joe Kennedy, the third on the podcast as well recently. Mm-hmm. Might he be a future Democratic president, do you think, Martin?
Well, I wouldn't be averse to seeing Joe Kennedy throw his hat in the ring. The truth of it is there's actually quite a number of competent young Democratic politicians coming up. And so there will be, in my view, a dramatic generational shift, assuming that we have a presidential election, which I do think.
Yeah, well, he did tell you, you never have to vote again. Mm-hmm. Lucky ye. Anyway, Martin and John, listen, thanks a million. I really appreciate it. It's great to see both of you. Martin Nutting and John Lee, they are co-hosts of the Irish Stew podcast. So if you just look that up, the Irish Stew podcast, on any platform, you will find it. And like you said, they've got Neil Richmond on relatively recently. They had Joe Kennedy, the third, I think he is he? And a whole host of other people in between. Great stuff, as always.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.